The scripture reading will be from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, minds, to Jesus Christ.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm very glad to be before you once again. I'm always thankful for these opportunities. We're glad that everyone made it here safe and sound. From the age of 18 to the age of, I traveled around and preached a lot of different places. And I got to go to places that are not going so well numerically. And a lot of times, I'd walk into a place, and there would be this battle that I thought needed to be waged, and it was the battle to get the joy back into Christians. And I think sometimes as we look around our country and look at some of the things that are happening, sometimes we let that stuff wear on us. We let trials, temptation, persecution, things that happens in our lives, and what it does is it wears on us and it tears us down, and what it starts to do is it starts to suck out the joy of the Christian life. I truly believe there's a joy in the Christian life.
Amen.
And if there is not a joy in the Christian life, what I'm afraid to say is you probably won't be living the Christian life much longer. Because once the joy goes, I believe Christian lives are not far behind. The joy of the Christian life. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians. And the reading was Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn over there. We have Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and in chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But we start to look at the situation in which Paul finds himself, the setting of Philippians, Paul more likely than not in prison. And when we think of that situation, a lot of us probably cannot necessarily relate to the situation which Paul was in, which was he was in prison, and what is the message that Paul sends out to the church at Philippi from behind prison bars? He says, rejoice. How could Paul send such a message? At such a dire situation, at such a time in Paul's life where certainly he had heartache, certainly he had pain, certainly he was facing adversity, certainly he had thoughts of doubt, certainly he was going through pain, and certainly all these things were coming into his life. How could Paul send such a message? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. I think we can see it in Paul's life. I think we can learn something very special from the Apostle Paul, and that is that he rejoiced throughout his life. No matter what situation he found himself in, no matter what trial, no matter what persecution, no matter what struggle he was going through, he always found a way to rejoice. How can we in our Christian lives find a way to always rejoice? In Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and prisoners were listening to them. How can you be in prison and sing? How can you have that much joy that you in that situation find the joy? You find the joy of having hope. It doesn't matter the sickness, the disease, the loss, the trials. How can you have joy in such a situation? And that's what we're going to look at this evening, is three reasons that Paul could keep his joy even in the most dire circumstances. The first reason I believe Paul could keep his joy, even though he found himself behind bars, even though there's things that are probably going on in Paul's life that he doesn't even talk about, how can he maintain his joy? Number one is I believe Paul had a peace. Paul had a peace that surpassed all understanding. He had a hope and an expectation of peace. And it was a peace that I believe he had and he believed he had. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Do you have the peace of a Christian? I think Paul did. And Paul had a peace that he knew that everything would work out. Even though he was going through bad times, even though he was going through adversity, even though he was going through trials, even though he was in prison, he knew he had a peace that all things would work out. all things would work out. And it's a peace that the world doesn't understand when they look at it. They look at us as Christians and say, how can you have a peace in this situation? Paul, how can you have a peace when you're in prison? It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. That peace that we know that it will all work out in the end. I always reference when I first became a Christian. I became a Christian around when I was a sophomore in high school. I was raised in the church, and there's probably, I just studied and studied and studied. I remember those nights leading up to the night that I made the decision to become a Christian. And I can tell you, once I became a Christian, I went to bed that night, I had a peace. I had a peace. It didn't matter what happened that night. It didn't matter if I would have passed away that night, that it would have all been okay with me. See, Paul had his priorities in order, that he knew that it, whatever happened, it didn't matter if they beat him, it didn't matter if they put him on trial, it didn't matter if he was in prison, it didn't matter if this happened, it didn't matter if he had this heartache, it didn't matter if this persecution came in his life. He had a peace that surpassed all understanding, that people looked at Paul and said, I don't understand how you can keep going these things. He had a peace. Do you have the peace that a Christian should have? The peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace that can keep us from not letting our lives being swirled by all of the anxieties that come into our lives, all of the struggles that come into our lives. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, you can have peace because of me. You can have peace because of me, but do many times in Christians, as the tribulations come into our lives, if the Bible doesn't say the Christian life is without tribulations, when the tribulations come into our lives, do we forget the peace that we have as a Christian that all things will work out? Or do those things happen to us and we get so entrenched and so drowned by the trials and all the things that are happening? What's happening with our spouse? What's happening with our family? What's happening at work? What's happening everywhere? What's happening in our country? That we get drowned by those anxieties. We get drowned by those things that we forget the peace that we have as Christians, that all things will work out in the end. The Christian life is not a life without tribulation. But it's a life that has tribulations, but that we can understand that it will all work out in the end if we stay true to God. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Are we thankful for the peace that we have in Christ Jesus? See, I think Paul had his life sorted out. Paul had his life sorted out. You have your life sorted out, that you have the peace that surpasses all understanding, that people look at you, and as things happen in your life, as things come into your life, you have that peace that you can say, it's all going to work out in the end, and I can have the joy of the Christian life. Paul had everything sorted out. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, in the beginning of the letter, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What's Paul saying? He says, I'm ready to die. He says, in fact, when I die, I get to go home. That was the peace that he was hanging on to, that he knew that if he died, after all these things that happened to him, he knew that he would have a home with God in heaven. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in fact, Paul continues on, and he talks about the struggle that he's in. He said he's hard-pressed between these two things. He says he wants to stay in hope, but he wants to go home and be with God. The peace that Paul had was based off the fact that he knew all things would work out, no matter what happened. It didn't matter. It did not matter in the grand scheme of life. Do you have the peace that Paul had? Because this peace is one foundational factor that Paul could keep his joy in any situation. It didn't matter if he was in prison. It didn't matter if they were beating him. It didn't matter what they were doing. Paul says, I have a peace that all things will work out in the end. Do we understand the peace that we have as Christians? I think many times we forget about it. Well, why do we forget about it? Because of the world. And all the things that come at us from all different angles, the workplace, our family, all these things. And we get so caught up in them that we forget the peace we have as Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I love what it says there. Those who have fallen asleep. How are Christians referenced sometimes that have passed away from this earth? They've fallen asleep. You probably go to sleep tonight. They know the sleep that I'm waiting for is the sleep that I don't wake up from. That's the one I'm waiting for. That's the one I've been waiting for all my Christian life. Not that I'm suicidal. I'm hard pressed just like Paul is. I want to stay and help. I want to be with my wife. I want to be with my child. I want to help them and do everything I can for them. But I have a peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding, that it's okay if I don't wake up tomorrow. In fact, that's what I've been waiting for all my Christian life. I'm not suicidal. I just want to go home. Do you want to go home? That's what Paul said. He says, I want to go home and be with Christ. But I want to stay and help as much as I can. I have a peace. I've got it all worked out. I know what my goal is, to help as many people as I can. But as soon as I die, I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to fall asleep? I remember when I was a young man, I went to, it was actually the preacher at my home congregation, I went to his mother's funeral. And I'm always bad at funerals, don't know what to say. What do you say? Sorry. You know, what do you say in this situation? Well, he said, Kyle, you don't have to say anything to me. I said, well, I appreciate that. But then he says, I'd like to say something to you. And what he reminded me of is what's said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, it says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. That's almost exactly what he said to me. He says, I don't want you to sorrow as those who have no hope. Well, why did he say that? His mother was a Christian. Why would we sorrow after the death of someone who was a Christian? In fact, in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Those who die in the Lord, it is blessed for them. Is it blessed for us as Christians when we die? See, Paul understood. I have a peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. That it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what they do to me. In the end, it will all work out. We don't mourn like those who have no hope. And how many times I fear that we creep into that trap. I'm not saying that we don't feel sorry. I'm not saying that we don't miss those that have been lost. But then we went on to their reward. What a greater thing for us as Christians. One thing I've tried to do throughout my life is I've tried to fear what the Bible says fear. And what I find in my life is many times I fear things that the Bible tells me not to fear. The Bible tells me not to fear this, but yet I fear it. The Bible tells me not to fear this, but yet I fear it. The Bible is very specific on the things that we should fear many times and the things that we shouldn't fear. But one of the things that we should not be fearing as Christians is death. That's not one of the things that the Bible writes down and says, this is one of the things that you need to fear is death. No, we have a peace. We have a peace. And you know what? That lets me be sleep real easy at night. That's a guy from North Korea. Lost those missiles over here. Launch them! I don't fear death as a Christian. Do you fear death as a Christian? Because it's not one of those things that we should fear. It's one of those things that should lead to our peace. The peace that I think we see in Paul's life. The peace that I think leads him to having a joy throughout his life. Even though so much bad was happening in his life. The Bible tells in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm afraid of those things that will take away my Christian joy. Because I'm afraid once my Christian joy is gone, what will happen is my Christian life will fall right behind it. If I lose the joy of the Christian life, if I forget about the blessings of the Christian life, if I forget about those things that are fundamental to the Christian life, I believe my Christian life is not far behind. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to keep the joy of the Christian life. And I think one way that we can do that is by keeping in mind that we have a peace as Christians, that it will all work out. It's a peace that frees us from many worries. It's a peace that frees us from so many little things that we shouldn't worry about, little anxieties in our lives. It's a peace that we know all things will work out. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. And how often and how easily do we forget the peace that we have in our lives as Christians? The first reason, I think, the foundational root of Paul's joy is he had a peace. It didn't matter what you did to Paul. He knew that it was all going to work out in the end. Number two is that I think Paul realized a very fundamental thing that I think we also forget about from time to time in our lives, and that Paul had a Christian family. Paul had a Christian family. In fact, Philippians is a letter that he writes to that Christian family, and we have a hope of an eternal Christian family. Have you forgot about that blessing? I think it was the source of Paul's joy. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, as he's writing this letter, I think you can see the love that he has for his brother. And he says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the last day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just that it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You are all partakers with me of grace, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul understood that he had a family. And he understood that this family was more important than anything physical, that it was a spiritual, everlasting family. And I think Paul many times reflected on this spiritual family as a source of joy. And I know that's been one of my sources of joy as I've traveled throughout my life, as I've preached many places. Sometimes I think of those people that I preach to and people that I develop relationships with, they bring me joy. They bring me joy. And I think the same thought that Paul is thinking, he says, I know that they're going to stay true. I know they'll stay true. They'll stay true. I know they're trying to stay true just like I'm trying to stay true. I know they're trying to support me just like I'm trying to support them. Because that's the way God's family should work. It's such a beautiful family. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 and 28 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Paul reflected on the one family of Christ Jesus. He focused on those that he knew believed the same things that he did, those ones that he stuck to so desperately. So many times we see sin comes into the world and it destroys our physical family. It's destroyed my physical family. I don't think we have to look too far until we see it going through all of our families in some way, shape, or form. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, it says, do not think I came to bring peace in this world. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Paul references brethren. He understands the relationship that he has. He thanks them. He greets them. He loves them. He expresses his care and affection for them. And I think Paul understood the importance of the spiritual family. And I think that God does not want us to forget about our spiritual family. In fact, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 49 through 50, I think Jesus points out the importance of the spiritual family. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 49 through 50, it says, he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. What was Jesus talking about? Jesus didn't reference his physical family. Who was he referencing? His spiritual family. He said, these who do my will are those that are part of the spiritual family. The spiritual family is so important. You know, at the end of this life, there's no title that's going to matter. You know, Lancaster, that's not going to be a title that matters. Bachelor is not going to be a title that matters. Doctor is not going to be a title that matters. The only title that's going to matter when it comes to the end of time is the title Christian. That's the only title that's going to matter. I think my grandma understood that more than most. My grandma has an interesting story, as most Christians do. But before she died, she wrote about 2 pages, and she titled it, "While I'm a Member of the Lord's Church." And through that little short paper, she described her transition as she started to become as he became a Christian. But my grandmother was in an interesting situation where when she decided to become a Christian, she packed everything back in the back of a vehicle, and she was kicked out of the house when she made that decision. She said, I want to become a Christian. She packed up her stuff, put it in the trunk. Mom and Dad said, you're out of here. That's what they told my grandma. That's quite a way to suck out your joy out of life, isn't it? But what's interesting is what my grandma writes in her paper is that she writes the joy of her Christian family. See, I don't think my grandma could focus on a physical family because for many, many years they never obeyed the gospel. A very easy way for us to get caught up in those bad things that happen to us, those trials, those tribulations, the persecution, get lost in it, and get lost into a point that you lose Christian joy. But you know my grandma found that Christian joy? Her Christian family. Of course she found it. She didn't have a physical family left. She found it with brothers and sisters in Christ. That's where she found her Christian joy. And I don't believe that she didn't find the Christian joy with her brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think she would have made it as a Christian. Because she would have got drowned by all the thoughts and depression and get lost in the anxiety and the trouble and woe is me. She would get lost. But I think my grandmother found the love of brothers and sisters in Christ, and she understood the importance of God's family. I think that's what Paul understood. If Paul understood that he had brothers and sisters in Christ that genuinely cared, that genuinely loved him, that were genuinely looking after him, and he was looking after them. Paul was looking at his eternal family for joy, for a source of joy, and being a member of that gave him joy. Throughout our lives, it's so easy to get focused on these different things. So easily to let things take over our lives that really shouldn't. But if we have this Christian family the way that we should, it can be very powerful in maintaining our joy that we should have as Christians. We can go through the scriptures as they talk about so many different ways that our family genuinely cares, genuinely loves, how we should help one another, do good to all, especially those in the household of faith. The Christian family is a source of joy, and is it one that we have forgotten about? Because I believe Paul did not forget about it as he was sitting in the prison. I think it was a source of Paul's joy. Have you forgotten about your spiritual family? Number three, I think that Paul, not only did he remember these things that are so important, so crucial, that he thought about those things that he had a peace that surpassed all understanding. Not only did he have a peace that surpassed all understanding, he had a Christian family. But number three, I think Paul realized that he was a blessed man. How easy is it for us to forget that we are a blessed people? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Do you forget about your blessings? You're a blessed man. You're a blessed woman. Have you forgot that? Because I don't think Paul forgot it as he was sitting in a prison. I am blessed. Well, how can you be blessed, Paul? You got all these bad things happening to you. How could you possibly be blessed? Well, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus." See, we tend to focus on those physical blessings. We tend to focus on the food. We tend to focus on the shelter. We tend to focus on those things. But have you ever thought about how blessed you are spiritually? See, Paul walked through his life, "I'm a blessed man. I couldn't get it much better." I think that was really Paul's attitude. How could I get much better? I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. There's no more left out. I have every spiritual blessing I could possibly have in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we have blessings. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and his glory by Christ Jesus." Paul had an attitude of commitment. Paul had an attitude that he was richly blessed in all situations. You can take everything away from Paul. And you know what I believe Paul would still say? "I'm blessed." Can you be stripped of everything and still say, "I'm blessed"? As a Christian, can you be stripped of everything and say that you're blessed? Because I think that's how Paul could cling to his joy. If they could take everything from Paul, and Paul could still say, "I'm a blessed man. I am a blessed man." In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now, at last, your care for me has furnished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul says, "I'm content in any situation." He says, "If you strip everything from me and I'm lacking, I'm still going to be content." And he says, "You can give me everything and I'm still going to be content." Why? He's talking about the spiritual blessings. Have you forgotten about those spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus? Have you forgotten how God takes care of us and watches over us? Do we prioritize our lives correctly? See, I think Paul had a habit of joy. See, Paul could have focused on all the bad things that happened in his life, couldn't he? I mean, Paul went through so much in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. You see a whole bunch of things that Paul went through. And he could have focused on these things. And he could have dwelled on these things. But he decided, I'm not going to focus on those things. I'm going to focus on the blessings in my life. What are some of those things? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, it says, from the Jews, 5 times I have received 40 stripes, minus 1. How many times? 5 times. I'm a blessed man. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. I'm a blessed man. I think that's what Paul's mindset was. Not that it was easy. He says, once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the seas, in perils among false brethren. In wilderness and toil and sleepless often, and hunger and thirst and fasting often, and cold and nakedness, besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul had a lot to complain about. Paul had a lot of trials, he had a lot of temptations, he had a lot of persecutions. He could have focused on all of that, and he could have lost his joy very easily. But I think Paul focused on the blessings that he did have. He focused on those spiritual blessings and how many times that we lose that eyesight of those things that are spiritual, the ways that we have been blessed in our lives. I think we count our trials and our tribulations, but not our blessings. Do you find yourself doing that? You count your trials, your tribulations, but you don't count your blessings. And what I'm going to tell you is, if you're honest and you try to make that list, is you're going to find your blessings are far longer than your trials and your tribulations and your struggles and your temptations. But you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to direct you to that list. The list of the bad things, and keep your eyes off the ways that you're blessed. Make the list. Make the list. I don't think it'll take you long. When's the last time you tried to count your blessings? When's the last time you tried to count your blessings?
Still counting.
Still counting. We still would be, wouldn't we, Jackie? Still counting. I challenge you to try to count your blessings and not smile. I challenge you to try to count your blessings without laughing. And I try to challenge you to count your blessings and not cry, not out of sadness, but out of joy. We are blessed. We are a blessed people. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Have we forgotten James chapter 1, verse 17? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Sometimes we're like that spoiled kid at the party. We're the spoiled kid at the party, and we're looking for something. And what we do is we tear through every single present. We tear through this one, throw it over, tear through this one. And what are we looking for? Well, we're looking for something. We keep tearing, keep tearing, keep tearing. And then you get to the end of the stack and you're like, it's not there. Well, what were you looking for? Well, what I was looking for was this. And what you realize is you tore through so many blessings that other people would give anything for. Maybe when you were tearing through your presents, you tore through the blessing of sight. Do you take the blessing of sight for granted? Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ don't have that. And you just tore through it and threw it over your shoulder because you were looking for this blessing, the blessing that you wanted, the blessing that you think you should have, and you just took that other blessing that people would do anything for and just threw it over your shoulder. Do you take the blessing of mobility for granted? Some of my brothers and sisters in Christ are not blessed with mobility. They would give anything. And you know what you do with that blessing? Oh, let me grab it. Let me tear it through. Oh, not what I want. Throw it over. Take it for granted. Can we focus on those blessings which God has blessed us with? Or are we like the spoiled kid who takes everything for granted? Are we like the spoiled kid that's not content? Are we like the spoiled one that we're looking for the blessing that we want, but we refuse to acknowledge all the blessings that are around us at the table? In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the blessing of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. Sometimes we focus on those physical blessings much more than we do the spiritual blessings. How could Paul, going through all of these bad things, how could he keep his joy? Reason number one, Paul had a peace. Paul had a peace that all things would work out in the end. It didn't matter what happened. Number two, Paul understood that he had a spiritual family, an eternal family that cared for him and that he cared for them. And I think that Paul understood that he was a blessed man no matter what happened to him. He was blessed in Jesus Christ with all those things. I think it's easy for us in our lives, it's easier said than done to say, keep your joy. I think it's easier said than done to say, keep your joy. Because Satan is doing everything in his power to drain the joy out of your life. To drain the joy out of your life, to get you lost in your life that you forget about the peace that surpasses all understanding. That he's trying to get you to forget about your spiritual family. That he's trying to get you to forget about the ways you have been blessed throughout your life. That's what Satan's trying to do. Is he doing his job? Is he doing his job well? That he is draining the Christian life of its joy because we won't take the time to look at all the ways that God has given us reason to be joyous. Have you forgotten about the peace that we have as Christians? Have you forgotten about the family that we have as Christians? Have you forgotten about the blessings that we have as Christians? Satan tries to get us with the light affliction for a moment. And we get so focused on the light affliction for the moment that we forget about all these blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory." We get lost in the light affliction that's just for a moment. How easy it is for us to lose our joy because we lose sight of the blessing which God has. If Satan takes our joy, I think our spiritual lives are not far behind. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to keep our joy. I think Paul sends out the message. He sends it out loud and clear. Where does he send it out from? Behind prison bars, I believe. What's the message? Rejoice in the Lord always. I think we could stop right there and it would be powerful enough, but that's not where Paul stops. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have reason to be joyous. If we'll take the time to focus on those things, the Christian life is full of joy. Don't lose the joy. If you need to become a New Testament Christian, or you've wandered off from that straight and narrow path, and you need to return, if you need our help in any way, we'd love to help you in any way that we can. If you're subject for his education, you need the prayer of your church, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.